Well, good morning to you again, and it's great that we're able to share together in our worship service this morning, and we pray that God will bless us as we look at his word. If you're meeting with us for the first time, then a special welcome to you, and I trust that you'll enjoy our service as we learn together. We do continue to pray for each other in our church family as we face differing challenges and situation, and be assured that as we hear of those, that we will be remembering and praying for you. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have different speakers. We'll send out some information about that, but next week Graham should be sharing with us, and then there will be others in weeks ahead, as well as myself also. So do be praying for the different services, and as different individuals will be taking ministry for them, and we do thank God for them and those that will be doing that. Well, we are continuing with our studies in the Gospel of Matthew today, and learning about who Jesus is as Matthew presents the Messiah, King Jesus. And we're going to look in a few moments at Matthew chapter 7, and the verses that will be read to us are verses 15 to 29. But before those are read to us, we're going to be led in prayer.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this past week when we've seen your wonderful hand of blessing upon us. We thank you for keeping us safe. We thank you for your protection and your provision to us. We realize that everything we have in this life is a wonderful gift from you, and we thank you for it. We thank you for all that we have, and we pray for wisdom in how we use the things that you've given us, whether it's our homes, our talents, the money you provide us with, everything we have, all the gifts we have, Father, that we long that we would use them for your honour and for your glory. Father, we thank you for your sustaining hand upon us as a fellowship over these past few months as we've been separated, but we've still been able to rejoice and praise and worship together. And we thank you for the technology that we've been able to use to hear your precious word and just to have time together online. And Father, we long for the day when we will be back worshipping together in person, and we will be able to rejoice and praise how great a God you are. But until then, Father, just bless us as a fellowship, continue to encourage us, build us up, and as we individually worship or in our families, that we will continue just to praise you and give you the thanks, because you are a God who is in control. And so, Father, we come to you this morning looking for a blessing upon us. We are longing to dig deep into your word, and we ask that your spirit would just give us understanding this morning as we look at this passage in Matthew, that we will not just be hearers of this word, but we will take it in and live it out in whatever we face during this coming week for your honour and for your glory. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're reading from verses 15 to 29. So Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15 through to the end of the chapter. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. Amen.
Let me start with a question. There are 66 books that make up the Bible. Is that true or is that false? Well, I guess there's an easy answer which you may well know, and it is true. There are 66 books that make up the Old Testament and the New Testament that form our Bible. We could have other questions, and the purpose would be to answer true or false. To some degree, that's what this section is all about. True or false? There are followers of Jesus who will be genuine, and there will be those who will be fake. Well, Jesus has been teaching about his kingdom. What does it look like? What does it look like to follow him? And as he comes to a conclusion, so there's some application and the importance of hearing his words and doing them is expressed. And in this chapter, we have something about those who will follow and those that look like they are following, but actually it's not the case. So three things. First of all, in verses 15 to 20, we have a spiritual health warning. Now, this is the second warning that Jesus has given. So here, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Back in chapter 61, which forms part of this sermon as well, he said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. There in chapter 6, it's all about motive, only doing something because you are seen and given credit for it. And Jesus warns that this is a serious error in terms of spiritual living. Here, there's a warning about claiming to be something which isn't the case. So here in verse 15, we're told about false prophets. A prophet, understood at the time of Jesus, was someone who could come and speak, so says the Lord. Time and again in the Old Testament, there were prophets who would appear and make this statement, whether it was Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, and there are many others. And to be able to speak in that way would give you some authority. This is what God says. Having message then that will be heard. Many people might be attracted to you, and you might be given a large following. But, says Jesus, there may be those who make such a claim that they're prophets, but they're far from being good, and they're far from having a message of God, from God. They are like sheep, they look like sheep, but actually they are ravenous wolves because they come to destroy the flock of God, the people of God, or that's what they aim to do. These teachers are only interested in themselves, their own influences, and possible financial gain. Jesus says, you're going to know them, and you'll know them by their fruit. But of course, by its nature, fruit and unhealthy fruit or bad fruit may take a little while to be seen, to be uncovered, to be discovered. But at some point, it will become apparent. The more we understand the nature of God, the more we see the message of Christ, the greater our ability to discern the false message and bad fruit. We need to listen carefully to what Jesus is saying about himself and ask God to help you do that, help you to understand the work and the claims of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the one that offers help and hope for the future. And we can read the Bible and we can ask God to give us an understanding and that we will see who Jesus is, because that's the aim of Matthew. Jesus has come to deal with sin, to ensure that we can have a relationship with God. And unless the Bible teacher that you might be listening to is then leading you to Jesus, then we should be thinking carefully about what is being taught. We have access to so many who claim to be Bible teachers. We have the televangelists. You can find them on a variety of programs. Well, I'm not saying all are wrong, but we do need to listen very carefully to what is being taught. Are they teaching truth? What are they saying about Jesus? Is it more about themselves and their ministries rather than what Jesus has done? So read your Bibles, see who Jesus was and is, and all that he has done. Here is that there is a warning from Jesus. These that come in, but you will know them. Bit by bit, it will become apparent. By their teaching, there may be a little truth, but think carefully about what they are saying and what they're demanding. Are they leading you to King Jesus, the Jesus that died upon the cross for your sin and my sin? Are they leading you to resurrection of Christ, who's alive today and one day is going to come again to judge everybody? Is that the Jesus that they're leading you to? Well, be careful. Listen, read, and ask questions. So the first thing is that we have this warning in verses 15 to 20. The second thing is that we have judgment being declared, verses 21 to 23. Jesus has some very sobering words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. David Hasselhoff is an actor. Some might dispute whether he's an actor or not, but that's what he purports to be. And he was trying to gain access to an area of the Wimbledon Tennis Club, an area which was for players only. Having been denied the access to it, he's reported to have said, don't you know who I am? There have been other celebrities, so-called, who in similar situations have expressed like sentiments, as if their fame is going to stop them getting a speeding ticket or being denied something that they think they are entitled to. Don't you know who I am? Whether Jesus is continuing to reference the false prophets or if he has others in mind, we don't know. But it is as if they say, don't you know me? The picture that Jesus is creating is that people are standing before him, that is King Jesus, on the day of judgment, something in the future. They know the name of the Lord. They say, Lord, Lord, and they declare, seemingly, this knowledge. But we're told in the scripture that Jesus does not know them. Verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They will claim to have been working in his name. They will point to a raft of evidence that should support their assertion. Look, look at what we've done. Look at how we've lived. But this is all met with a resounding, I never knew you. Depart from me. They failed in one area, and Jesus points up in verse 21. They haven't done the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? Well, the will of the Father, among many other things, the will of the Father was to listen to his Son. God in heaven will say at the baptism of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, listen to him, hear him. Not just listen with your ear, but accept the truths that he is teaching. Apply them in your life. Follow him. You're to hear his teaching. You're to obey what he says. So what is the will of the Father? Well, Jesus is the one who best exhibits this reality as he submits to his Father and what his Father is purposing and planning, as Jesus is planning it too. And that is that Jesus will end up on a cross to die in your place and my place. He's going to give his life as a ransom for many. He gives himself so that you and I today can know spiritual life, can know an assurance of relationship with God, and can know that one day we will be in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this is King Jesus. Follow the Father's will. What did Jesus do? Well, we read, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, we can never face what he did. But he does say, take up your cross and follow me. How can we know that this is what we're doing? How do we know that our lives are not just false and fake? Well, we are those who have realized that we are sinners. We then entrust our lives to King Jesus, to Christ, the only one who can stand in our place. If you look at what is said in verse 22, this is what the false people say, the ones that claim to be followers of Jesus. On that day, many will say to him, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Though they say they're doing things in the name of Jesus, it's all about what we are doing. It's how we are performing. It's a sense of self-glory. When Jesus speaks about the Father's will, it's actually indicating that our only hope is in what Christ has done. Now, works will follow. Our love for him will grow. But the hope of our lives and future will be all on that he has done for us. But if we're a true follower, then we will desire to do the Father's will. The Father's will is to follow the way of Christ. The Father's will is to love his word. The Father's will is to love the people of God. There are many other things, but these are elements that should be part and parcel of those that do have Christ as their Saviour. But the third thing in this text this morning, as we think about what's true and what's false, is in verses 24 to 27. And there we have a house building project. You see, Jesus will end the section and his sermon with another memorable picture. He was well able to create them. And as he draws to a conclusion, he paints a picture. And the point that he's making is, I've been teaching, have you been listening? We may possibly, if we've had children and raised them, we might have said in frustration on occasions, do you ever listen to me? Jesus says, I've been teaching you. Will you listen to what I say? And he illustrates it then with two builders, one wise and the other foolish. Buildings look the same. The choice of material is nearly identical. But the major difference is the unseen bit, which is the foundation. One goes for the seemingly easy option, puts everything that he's got on sand. The other applies himself to the hard work, digs a foundation, and then builds the house. Now, everybody listening knows that you always have a good foundation. So as they listen to this story, they know that nobody ever builds a house on sand. It's never been known. It's folly, it's stupid, because exactly what Jesus says, when the wind comes, when the waves lash around the house, it's just going to collapse. So everybody actually knows when Jesus is telling this story, and as they picture it, they realize this is ridiculous. But the point that Jesus is making is that in your spiritual lives, you need to make sure that it's on a foundation. A shaky or non-existent foundation is the one that is prevailing in the day of Jesus among his listeners and among the religious leaders that form part of the crowd who will be hearing what Jesus is saying. And their shaky foundation or non-existent foundation is, we know God because we keep the law. We get to heaven because we do our best. We pray when we can. We give our money. We live good and worthy lives. Well, the Bible terms this self-righteousness. It's all about what we do. It's all dependent on how we act. And our hope will be that we'll have a place in heaven. Now, if that's the case, then if you can get into heaven by performing good works and functioning in this way, there was really no need for Jesus to come and die the death that he did. The firm foundation will be then the one that hears the teaching of Jesus, accepts their sinful nature, understands that Jesus' mission, his death and his resurrection, is the very means by which we can have a good standing with God, and the only means. Our salvation then will not be down to what we do, but based totally on what he has done. So if we're listening properly, then we're saying, I need to know about who this Jesus is. If you're listening today and you're listening properly and you're the wise builder, then you're saying, I need to hear what Jesus teaches. If you're the foolish builder, you're thinking, I'm okay. If you're thinking, well, this is a little bit meaningless, it's something just for a really bad person, I'm all right as I am. And if that's your response, then you're building on sand. And there's a serious consequence associated with the building on the sand. It's going to fall. The judgment's going to come, and there's not going to be anything left. When we die, we leave everything behind. The pharaohs of a previous history and generation may have been buried in the tombs with gold, riches, and finery, but it remained there. They didn't take it with them into the great beyond, as they may have described it. You see, the Bible's clear. Naked we come into the world, and we go out the same way. The Bible is clear that dust we are, and to dust we will return. So there is a need to listen carefully and make sure that we heed and hear the teaching of Jesus. That is the good foundation. And what this section is telling us, that this is the real Jesus. And if this is the real Jesus, you can't ignore him. You can't just put him in the shredder of life and say he doesn't matter. He can't be designated to a file on your computer to be forgotten and not engaged with. How many files do you have on your computer that you hardly look at? Maybe it needs cleaned up, but you can't designate Christ into a little box and close the lid and say he doesn't matter. No, it's not possible. And this narrative tells us it's not possible. You see, this is the King of the world. This is the creator of the universe. This is the Son of God. And we must give thought to him. It could be that you're being provoked in your mind to do exactly that. Well, I would say to you this morning, don't delay. Don't put it off. But maybe on this day, come and seek Christ, the one that can deal with your sin, who can reverse your rebellious nature against God, give you hope for now, and give you certainty for the future. Well, here Jesus brings what is the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion. And it's very clear. You need to listen. You need to have ears to hear the Word of God. Not listening just with your head, with your mind, that's important, but with your heart and with your life, committed to Jesus. And we pray, and I will pray, that if you don't know Jesus, then even today, that might be your reality, and that might be your knowledge. Well, we've come to a conclusion of our service this morning, and just as we are brought to the end of it, I'm going to pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.